You can be seated. This morning, we have a guest with us, a guest preacher that we are very excited to welcome. Greg and his wife, Iris, have been a part of Mandarin for a number of years now. They've been deeply involved in the Great Banquet, and Greg is an eco-pastor that is honorably retired. And so we are grateful that he has said yes to speaking with us this morning. So please help me to welcome him as he comes to address us.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning. As they say in my homeland of South Louisiana, how you all are. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for this day, and thank you for getting us here on this Sabbath as your people. Father, Son, and Spirit, you give us the power of your word, Scripture. It tells us your story that you invite us into. And so we pray, O Holy Spirit, hovering in our midst, you would take away all the distractions of our worlds, whatever they may be. And you would guide us into hearing your word, and in hearing we may discern, and in discerning we may seek to truly be by your grace the hands and feet of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I have for you just a little smorgasbord, a taste of Scripture, very brief snippets of Scripture coming from the old and the new, and the final words that we hear from the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at Exodus 6, verses 2 through 9, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and the very last words of Revelation, chapter 22, 20 through 21. Feel free to follow along on the visuals. Feel free, since I don't do that, I've never done this before here, I'll give you maybe a permission. Just pull out those old cell phones and go to Bible Gateway and follow there if you'd like. If your phone buzzes, if a child screams, I'm 65, it's not going to faze me at this stage of life, so just enjoy hearing and being part of God's Word. In Exodus 6, verses 2 through 9, God spoke to Moses and he said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which we lived as sojourners. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. And then the final words in Matthew's gospel in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the final words of Revelation. Maybe you're in a study group, and if they ask you this week in your group, well, what kind of studying did you do? You can brag and say, I actually read something out of Revelation this week, a book that most of us avoid. That was a joke that didn't land. Okay. He, referring to Jesus, who testified to these things, says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen." Friends, these are God's words, then, now, and into the future. May we ask the Holy Spirit to help us receive them and be encouraged in them and through them. First, I want to begin by thanking Joel and the leaders of the church for the opportunity to be with you this morning to deliver God's message. It's a big task, and I've got to admit, I usually don't get that nervous anymore about preaching, but when you're preaching in a church where you worship and when you're engaged, whew, boy, what can I say? Restless moments, sleepless nights. But thankfully, to a dear pastoral friend yesterday afternoon, texting and complaining about, gosh, I'm just so nervous, he said to me in bold letters, "Just be you." And that was just what I heard God saying. I know many of you, it's easier at the early services to point out the faces. I know many of you very well. I know some of you by sight. I've seen you on aisle 6 at Publix up on the corner. And I know that others of you are my brothers and sisters in Christ who it would be an honor and privilege to get to know better in our journey together as God's people here at Mandarin Presbyterian Church. My background is I was a businessman that became a pastor. I went to seminary at 37, ordained at 40, served churches 10 years ago, moved to Jacksonville, or 12 years ago. That shows time is slipping here. And I've spent the last 10, 12 years in pews. I've done some transitional ministry. I consult with churches that go through transitions. And I thought, I left for about 10 months to go downtown to be with First Church through the beginnings of their transition. Came back, Iris and I, in November, and I immediately sat back where my friends and members of my small group are sitting today, and I found out that my memory cushion there just didn't quite fit the way it did 11 months earlier. That, too, was another dying moment of a joke that failed. So I've been on a journey since being back at both services, searching desperately for that memory cushion. And it's nowhere to be found. And I think there's a conclusion God would like me to come to. I'd rather you move around, meet new people, find new faces, but your memory cushion is not there anymore. So here we are. I was born in New Orleans, and so in preparation for this week, I went ahead and looked at topo maps, because if you're born in New Orleans, the truth is we are a city that was built below sea level. So I curiously went to the topo maps to see where or how high was 1601 Tropic Drive, where I spent all of my childhood. And I found out that it was 10 feet above sea level. And I thought, wow, back in my teens, if I had known this and said to my dad, "It's 10 feet above sea level because I live here. This is why it's the highest point." My father would have responded, "That's why you have brown eyes." Let me tell you, the traditional crowd, they're a lot lighter than you guys are, okay? That's not the way it's supposed to work in a church. You're supposed to be the laid-back dudes, okay, and dudettes. Anyway, so one of the things I enjoyed as I grew older and I got to travel, I enjoyed seeing mountains and driving down roads where you could see stratospheres of rocks. That always fascinates me to this day. And I wanted to share with you a picture of that today, of one I found in preparation. Just as amazing. Look at that thing. I mean, that is just absolutely amazing. I can't tell you anything about it geologically, but I can tell you that shows many different layers of rock. And I show you that picture because I'm a believer that God's word, Scripture, is God's story, and that there are several different layers and strata of God's story, if you study it, that you can find from the beginning of Genesis all the way through the end of Revelation. That each book is not isolated. It continues to tell God's story, and it continues to tell the pattern of humanity not being able to grasp the story of God. So today in our readings, I'm wanting to share with you a stratification I find in Scripture that I think is so important for all churches, but especially those that are in transitions or where things have happened or something's going on that may leave people in our natural state individually or as a community of faith wondering where God is. God speaks in Exodus 6 to his people before they even leave the slavery of Egypt. The plagues of Exodus have not even occurred yet. And God offers this amazing, compact view of who God wants his people to know that he is. And if you look closely at what is written there, it is not an English teacher's friend, because God speaks in two tenses in one paragraph. Try that on if there are any students here in writing a paper. And note that on the side of the margin, you will get a comment from an English teacher pointing out paragraphs should all be read in the same syntax and tense. But God says, no, I'm God. I'll speak in the past and the future all in the same paragraph. And what does God say? He reminds the people, the slaved, that are going to be his people, that are going to be the covenant people, of what he's done from before they ever knew him and what he will do into their future. And if you look carefully in Exodus 6, you find a God of consistency. It's like the beginning of the strata that still goes on through our day and wraps its way even into the final words of Revelation. God says to his people, I made this promise to your ancestors. I'm going to continue to keep this promise with you, and I will be this as God. I will hear you. I'll listen to your groans. I will be a God who will seek to guide you from the enslaved moments of your life. I will grieve and lead you out of grief. This is who I will be. God continues through time, and as he creates these covenant people, we begin to notice that what God says and what people perceive or think, there seems to be a gap. But as God's story goes on into Matthew, Jesus Christ has come to the earth. He has lived literally the words of Exodus 6 in flesh. He has been with the lonely. He's heard the groaning of the people. He has said, I am the fulfillment of the covenant. He has sought to let the lowly know that I am your God. He has attempted to say to religious establishments outside of his boundaries, you don't really understand who I am or what I'm all about. He declares a kingdom and says, it's not of this world. But Jesus, in the closing words of Matthew, frequently we see this passage, it's labeled in our Bibles as the Great Commission, which is at the heart of it. But you can look at me, and you can probably figure out, some of you know me pretty well, that you're going to get at least a few food analogies in a sermon that I deliver. And what we miss here, not the importance of the Great Commission, because it's very important, it's the bread above and the bread below. The bread where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth belong to me. And the final words he speaks, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That Christ is the fulfillment of what God said even before Exodus 6, and the fulfillment even then and into our future. And you may say, as people then did, well, how is that possible? But if you go to John 14, 15, and 16 and read it, it's probably the greatest speech Christ gives on earth about the Holy Spirit, whom he calls the helper, the teacher, the paraclete, the one who will be with his people as God through their entire journey. And so what we have here being set up is clearly the notion that God is a God of the always. In the words of Eugene Peterson in interpreting Exodus 6 and other places where the statement of I am the Lord Almighty is used, Eugene Peterson in the Message says, God is basically saying, I am present always. And when we finally get to the end of Revelation, we find that Jesus says, surely I'm coming soon. And John's response is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus made the statement that he was coming soon roughly 1922 years ago, because Revelation was likely written around 95, 96, somewhere up in there after the birth of Christ. So all those years ago, Jesus declared, I'm coming soon. And since then, all God's people through the ages have waited and waited and waited, while Jesus has continued to come into our world always, always, always. I like the way two teachings help us understand what do we do with these scriptures. I like to read the old, especially God's words in Exodus, not as history, but something intended even for us. There's a Jewish teaching that was written between 2 centuries before the birth of Christ, extended for 2 centuries after his birth. It's called the Mishnah. Yeah, I find it a wonderful teaching because it gives great insights into the Old Testament and the practices of covenant people. Speaking about this text, Exodus 6, the Mishnah says, we should regard ourselves as if one who came forth out of the same Egypt story and covenant that God gave to his people all those years ago. That we are to try to be bound to give thanks, praise, glory, and honor to God, and realize that story is our story. Many centuries later, John Calvin, great Reformed teacher, 16th century, he wrote a series, a whole expose on every book of the Bible. But on Exodus 6, what does he have to say? God uses the future tense to remind even us in our own age that the temporal nature of God always being with us, always being there, is intended for us to accept, to wrestle with, and attempt to live by. So what do we do with this, and what do we learn about this in our individual journey and even our journey as a covenant group of partners? That's what we're called in the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians. We're not viewed only as members, we're viewed as covenant partners with each other. What do we do with these texts? How do we read this? How do we study this? I mentioned earlier that I know some of you. I know you very well. And good and bad, you know me. We know each other's stories. We know the things in life that we grapple with, the things that are not quite right, the journeys we have been on, and the way that God seeks to redeem us. We may know each other well enough to know we pray for each other for patience at times when it seems like we want God to intervene, like right now. And yet we know that God in the end is the one who seeks for us to know what it means to be faithful people. Some of you here today grieve. You grieve the loss of a loved one. You grieve the loss of a job. You grieve the loss of a relationship. Some of you feel like you're not quite right with a family member or with someone dear to you. Some of us have even been through the pains of divorce. We know what it's like, and we know God does redeem us. But at times, we may not know what that feels like because we're wondering, where is God in the worlds that we travel in? And yet we have these texts to remind us that God of Scripture is a God of always, more than a God of give it to me right now. The common challenge, in my opinion, in modern-day Christianity is we want God to be the great concierge. Just show up. This is what I need. You make it happen. Life is good. We go on. Oh, what's your name, by the way? Thank you. That's the world Christianity at times seems to function in. But the reality of this text is a different story. God is not the great concierge. God is the God of the always, of the present, of the one who seeks to be with us and journey with us and work with us through all our everyday life issues. But I didn't think it would be complete to just leave the sermon there, talking about us as individual Christians and how we may see God as the God of always. Those that know me best know, well, gee, really, he's either really calmed down, he's not really being himself. He hasn't hit with an in-between-your-eyes zinger yet. Because unfortunately, that's part of who I am. I will tell it like it is. It's just the way I was born. Let me say this. Let me get in the weeds with you where I live with you. I've spent 12 years of ministry, working in transitional ministry, either working with churches as their transitional pastor or consulting with churches on how to move on. I remember before I was even pastor being a member of a church where the pastor suddenly had to leave. And things kind of went the way they did in the early 90s, where it was usually, keep it under the carpet, vacuum a little bit, bring the next person in, and let's pretend like everybody's happy. Not a good way to live life in our families or in our churches. But I've also seen churches that have done transitions very well. The ones that do it very well, they understand the teachings of Scripture of what it means to count in God as the always. The ones that do not do it very well, their first hymn in their hymnals or on the screens every Sunday, for those of us old enough to get this joke, should be that 50 or 60s hit, Quando, Quando, Quando. They're in a big hurry to get everything done, and they want that next person right now. And they want everything exactly the way it always was. I love music. Folks like that in churches like that, their tendency is to believe if they could just put time in a bottle, it would be perfect the way it always was. There's one challenge in those worlds of Christianity. To borrow the line from the great fictitious philosopher Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not there. But God is always present. And God is the one in charge. And through Scripture, if we read it closely, we don't find anything unique about ourselves because it's all the same it's always been. Because when God said these words, and as people even went towards the promised land, remember how many years it took them to get there? 40. Not exactly an overnight journey, would you say? You know how many of them really ever got to the promised land? 2, maybe 3? You know what the overwhelming opinion poll was when they were told, God said, go look at your promised land? He sent out 12, and guess what popular opinion said? On Family Feud, the top answer was with 10 of the 12 saying, don't go there. There are big people that live there. Only 2 came back and said, if God says that's where we need to go, then that's what we should do. You get the picture, right? That the God of the always frequently doesn't function in the land of the when's, quando, quando, quandos. And if I can use the analogy of my homeland and one of my favorite food gumbos, we got a pretty good gumbo mix going on here. We have a pastor, beloved, who served here faithfully for years, a wonderful man in Kevin. And then we brought in Matt, who couldn't stay because of the health of his wife, and now we're in a transition. And the natural question I've heard in every congregation anywhere is, Quando? When will God say yes to the perfect candidate and he or she will arrive? But there's a line I forgot at the early service I'm not going to forget now. It's one I've shared with every church I've ever helped or every served in transition. Jesus Christ is coming again, but he's not coming as your next pastor. Y'all really are dry. Jesus is coming again, but it's not going to be as the next pastor of Mandarin Presbyterian Church or any other. But during this gumbo mix we have, the key ingredient becomes the always God. And let me assure you as I wrap this up, the always God has still been here through this awful gumbo without God we've created. Retiring pastor, next pastor comes for a little while, put a little pandemic in there. What a nasty combo. But let me assure you, that's not your whole story, that's not our whole story. I live right across the street, literally, down a cul-de-sac from the other campus. Any hour, day or night, that I leave my neighborhood, I have to stare at the other property. And it's a wonderful view. It's a very wonderful time to pray. If I leave around 8:30 or 9 in the morning, I see three lines of perfectly in line cars of people dropping their children off at our wonderful preschool. And I say, the always God is here at Mandarin Presbyterian Church. And if I leave my neighborhood on a Tuesday and I'm about to turn in or out, I can't help but see the placards that say food pantry, 4 to 6 p.m. And I say, in the midst of this gumbo mix that we're living through, the God of the always present is here. And I meet with a group of men on Thursday morning, all members of this church who've been through a great banquet. And I hear of their ministries, where one is part of the Grief Share ministry that through the pandemic and through this time, seminars held for grieving widows and widowers. And I say, the God of the always is here. And I leave this morning on a Sunday morning or late Saturday afternoon. I see the placards on this road, and what does it say? Worship 9 and 10:30. And I say, the God of the always is here. I could go on and on. I could tell you about a May night we celebrated at my home where a group of young women going from junior high to senior high came with their leaders to our home and had a blast of a time. And I would say, the God of the always is here at Mandarin Presbyterian Church. And I would say to those who want to sing hymn number one, Quando, always, always, always. God has never forsaken or abandoned us. He will not. And he will decide for us the time and place a permanent pastor will come. But in the meantime, the church charge of Ephesians 4 lives. It says that the church and its leaders are to be about equipping the saints for the role of the church in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I just leave you with that note. The notion and the idea that God is not done here. And someday, we don't know when, there will be another permanent pastor. But in the meantime, we're a people in transition. But despite our transition, we celebrate the God of the always who shows up all the time in and through this body of Christ. You're here today. Hopefully more show up next week, realizing the sense of need of community that only God can provide. And we will cling to the truth of the Exodus in the words of the Savior, in the closing words of the history of the world. Jesus comes soon here every day. He will eventually come in flesh. And in the meantime, we as people are called to be people who seek to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. To God be the praise and the glory and the honor this day and forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Amen. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your word, and we ask that you would guide us and lead us as your people. Help us to recognize you are with us on this journey, now and forevermore. Amen.